All right. Thank you, Sister Marissa. We appreciate that. Boy, you think about it. Glad he shed his blood for me. Amen. Well, we have the privilege of having one of our own back with us tonight. Brother Mike Mullins came in for the Bible conference. He's our missionary over in Chile. Brother Mullins started out here with us, I think, first listening to us on the radio and coming and getting saved and getting to be part of the church and got into college and worked his way through. And God blessed him with his wife, and he went and started a church in the States. Maybe he'll tell you about that. And then wound up in Chile and doing a good job over there. Told me he'd gotten used to the earthquakes. I can't imagine that. But I guess we kind of get used to the hurricanes, and folks can't imagine that either. But truth is, God's using him in a special way. I heard him talking a little bit about the ash falling out from the volcanoes. It's something awful to breathe and live in there for a little bit at times. But he's in God's will, and that's what counts. Amen. Brother Mullins, you come on, tell us about it. Preach to us as God leads you. Amen.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you this evening here at Landmark. Amen. It has been a little while. We don't get the opportunity to come back very often, and I came by myself. I left my wife in Chile at the church. Somebody's got to do the preaching. Amen. I bought the ticket to come. I was going to be a part of the Spanish Bible Conference, and I bought the ticket about almost 2 months ago. And I asked her. I said, "You wanna go?" And she said, "Well, you're just going for the week, and it's a long, miserable flight over there and back just for a week. And plus, it's twice as expensive. And no, you just go by yourself. You really need the preaching. Amen." And so I bought the ticket. And then every week as we got closer, or as I got closer to coming, she wanted to come also. So I really feel bad for her. She's at home. But she said, "I have really so many responsibilities, teaching Sunday school, ladies groups." But she says hello to everybody. And it's an honor to be here with you this evening. And really got a blessing to all the preaching and was able to be a part of the Spanish church. Many of you probably know me. I graduated from the college in 2005. And then we were able to start a church in Tennessee, and that church is doing really well. They're into their new sanctuary now, and sent me a little video clip this morning, and I tell you, it had a packed house in there. And then we started the church in Santiago, Chile in 2011. So we started the church in Tennessee, first part of March 2006, and then we started in Santiago, Chile, November 2011. And we've been in Chile now for almost 7 years. And the last Sunday this month, we'll celebrate 6 years, our sixth anniversary with the church down there, Iglesia Bautista Antioquia. And we run 50, 60, something like that. And we had a high day of 91 this year. There was food involved, amen. But it's a work in progress, amen. And so we probably have about what you had in the choir here this evening, amen. But it's a blessing. We love it. We own our own property down there. We've sacrificed to get that. And we have some money saved toward our building project. And next year, we're gonna get started, hopefully, with building a new building down there. And so we're just honored to be missionaries. It's good to be back here with you this evening. And if you have your Bibles, open up with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 tonight. I had been teaching the life of Christ in Chile. The life and times of Jesus the Messiah. I stole that title from Alfred Edersham. Amen. But so I'd been teaching the life of Christ down there. We just finished it up, and I wasn't really sure what direction to go in tonight. I wanted to try to be a blessing to you. I want to read a verse to you out of Matthew chapter 26. Now, that's a long chapter, 26th chapter of Matthew. There is so much in it. Amen. I want to read a verse to you. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to read a verse to you. I'm going to read three words to you out of this verse. And it's a question. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 66. Verse 66. Let's read this verse. The Bible says in Matthew 26 and verse 66, the Bible says, "What think ye?" What think ye? That's a question that was asked by the high priest to what I would consider to be an ungodly crowd that night. We don't even really need to look at the answer to that question that is found in the very same verse, because I don't really care what they think. I care what you think. Now, the question says, what think ye? And I'm going to deal with a little bit of this chapter tonight, but I want to have that thought, that question in your mind as we go through some of this chapter tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, we love you, and we thank you so much for the Word of God. We ask God that you would bless our time together, meet with us and speak to hearts, and help me, Lord God. You know that I'm tired and I'm weak and I feel frail, to be honest with you, Lord, and I just need your help and your strength, and I'm out of my time zone, I'm out of my comfort zone, and I'm away from my church and my family, and I just want to be a blessing, Lord God, to your people tonight, and I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I guess if you really wanted to give thought to that question, we'd have to really begin a little bit earlier in the night. We know that this chapter is often been called the mock trial of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's true. But we'd really have to go all the way back to the Garden of Gethsemane, where we have the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden that night, and he's Jesus. He knows everything. He knows that his time is short. He knows that the cross is coming the very next day. He knows that Judas Iscariot is away betraying him for 30 pieces of silver. Right. And can you imagine the disciples are sleeping? He came to them three times. Well, the third time he went back and prayed, he said, you sleep on. I mean, because it's not going to be long now. And so Jesus, as it were, is in the garden and he's praying and he's bleeding those great drops of blood. And he says, Father, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So the very difficult time for him in the garden. I mean, maybe a little bit of his humanity comes out there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we know that Judas, that very night, is on his way. And well, let's read it. Let me see. We'll probably find that over in about verse 47. Verse 47 of the same chapter, it says, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priest and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, the same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and he kissed him. Now it says that Judas Iscariot came in the garden that night and uses the word with a great multitude. Now I know that sometimes we can get this picture in our mind that Judas came with three or four men holding torches, and one of them had a sword. Well, the Bible is a little more detailed than that. It says that he came with a great multitude. Now, in my mind's eye, when I think about a great multitude, I think about a big company of men. Now, remember, they came to get Jesus, who was supposed to have been a king. Huh? King of heaven. Huh? Declared himself to be a king, the Jews said. He had a following. And when he spoke, thousands of people turned out to hear him speak. Did they not? Yes. I mean, this is a man, in their mind's eye, was a political rival. Was a man that could get them in trouble with Rome. Right. It was a man that the high priest said, it's expedient that one man die for the nation. Yeah. It came with a great multitude that night. If you read the same story over in the Gospel of John, you'll find out that they bound him when they drug him away, when they led him away. Bound him, they literally put chains on him. They chained him up, as it were. I don't know if it's chains or ropes, but it says they bound him. They chained him up and they led him away into the night. And then I'm going to skip over just a couple verses and I'm going to pick back up. In about verse 57. And in verse 57 it says, and they that laid hold on Jesus. Now this is the great multitude in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Let me paint a picture in your mind tonight. A great multitude, we already know, went to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. They bring him to the palace of the high priest. Let me just show you a few words here. In verse 57, it says scribes and elders. Verse 58, it says servants. In verse 59, it says chief priest. In verse 60, it says many false witnesses. We know that Peter was outside the palace, warming himself by the devil's fire, and that was all full of people, right? I'm telling you, there was a lot of people here that night. Hundreds of people, probably. Many people. There were scribes jotting down everything that happened. The Sanhedrin was there, probably most of them anyway. There was a great multitude that went and got him in the garden. There were servants there. There was the chief priest. There was the rulers. It's a lot of people. Now, we don't know a great deal about the palace of the high priest. You can just about imagine that they must have been in a big auditorium, kind of like this. Probably somewhere they had their fancy banquets and dinner parties and whatever they had. But it was probably a big auditorium. They did not have microphones in those days. Bless God, when you spoke, you lifted up your voice. And I can just about imagine that when they brought Jesus in, he's chained up, he's bound up as it were. And I can just picture the Sanhedrin or the council as it were sitting up there behind the high priest. Or up there. You know the Bible says that the high priest and the rulers and the elders, they like to dress up in their fancy clothing and take the best seats, huh? You know that? So I can just, it's a courtroom setting, if you would. So I can just about imagine that the high priest and his buddies were all up there, and they kind of bring Jesus down right in the middle here. And then back behind him is lots of people, all outside, can't even all fit inside. They all outside around the palace. There's a lot of people there that night. And that's the setting that we have. It says in verse 57, And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Verse 59, now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. Remember, that was the plan to begin with. Think about this. If the plan was to put Jesus to death, and Jesus had been the blasphemer that they were accusing him of, why didn't the Jews just do it? I mean, they had the right. I mean, they had the Old Testament. I mean, they had the law of the Old Testament on their side. Why didn't they? Why did they even need the Romans? Well, you remember when the high priest went to Pilate, and he's trying to convince Pilate to put Jesus to death, and Pilate says, you go judge him according to your own law. And he says, according to our law, we can't put a man to death. That law there that he's talking about is not Jewish law, it's Roman law. Yeah. You remember that when the Romans took over a people group, as you could call it, and they took over a people group, the first thing they did was took away their right to capital punishment.
Yeah.
They said, no one can put a man to death except we Romans. They took away their right of capital punishment. That's why you got the high priest standing before Pilate trying to get him to give the permission to put Jesus to death.
Right.
Verse 59, now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Now think about this. That council, the high priests, they're all up here, dressed out in their fancy garb. Jesus is down there in the middle. You got all these people back behind him, all outside. It said that they brought many false witnesses that night. Now, we don't know exactly how many, but many. Now, the reason in this trial, the whole purpose, was to come up with some evidence that they could take to Pilate the next morning that would warrant the death penalty. It's the whole purpose in this trial.
Yeah.
And so many false witnesses came. And one guy come and said this, and one guy come and said this, and this lady come and said this. And none of it was usable. None of it was good enough. None of it was good enough for the high priest to take to Pilate the very next day. It says here, but found none, yet though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fella said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. Now they thought he was talking about the temple there in Jerusalem.
Right.
48-year remodeling process, really, more than anything. But he was talking about the temple of his body. We understand that.
Right.
And that's the best that they could come up with. Out of all the false witnesses that came that night, it's the best that they could come up with.
Yeah.
That this fella said, I could destroy the temple of God and I'll raise it up in 3 days. The high priest knew that that wasn't going to work. He knew he wasn't going to be able to take that to Pilate tomorrow morning and get the death penalty. So notice what happens. Verse 62. And the high priest arose. Now think about this. Now in my mind's eye, bless God, when the high priest stood up, you quit talking. I can just about imagine that a hush came over that crowd. It's like when your pastor stands up to preach, you quit talking. If the president stood up to speak, you quit talking. Hundreds of people there, no microphones. He must have lifted his voice up when he spoke. But when he stood up, I can just about imagine that a hush came over that crowd. And it says this, and the high priest arose and said unto him, directly to Jesus, answerest thou nothing? Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? You know what he's doing? He's jugging a little bit. He's trying to get Jesus to say something that just might be incriminating.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. Because he don't have anything. What is it these witness against thee? Verse 63 says, but Jesus held his peace. See, he was that Isaiah 53 lamb that openeth not his mouth. He held his peace. As a matter of fact, out of all these false witnesses that came that night, he hadn't said anything up to this point. He hasn't said anything. He's bound up. He's there in the front, as it were. He's bound up, and he hasn't said anything up to this point. Verse 63, but Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, watch this, he says, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Now you think about this. That's a room full of people. This is the high priest himself speaking. The council's there. That would be that Sanhedrin council probably. That 70-member council. Lots of people there. He said directly to Jesus, I adjure thee. Basically, that means I command thee. Huh? Huh? I adjure thee, and then he makes it even stronger. He says, by the living God. That's some strong words. Huh?
Amen.
By the living God, that they'll tell us, all of us, 200, 300, 400, 500 people, tell us whether they'll be the Christ, the Son of God.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you, but whew, can you imagine? Can you imagine being there? In the presence of that trial, the high priest speaking like that, this is what the Bible says happened in verse 64. Jesus saith unto him. This is the first time he spoke.
Yeah.
He hadn't said anything. This false trial has probably been going on for hours. Hasn't said anything. But Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said.
Amen.
Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Whew. Now, I don't know about you, but I just about imagine that didn't go over very well in that room, huh? I can imagine the impact when he said that. Told the high priest directly to his face. It says here, and Jesus saith unto him, the high priest. directly in your face, thou hast said, you're right, buddy. That's what that means. You're right, buddy. Nevertheless, I'm going to get a little deeper here. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And he told him that he's going to be riding on the clouds of heaven. That's what he told him. You're going to see me riding on the clouds of heaven. He declared his deity that night. Amen. He's saying he is God. What you said about me being the Son of God, thou hast said you're right.
Yes.
And even further, you're going to see me riding on the clouds of heaven. Man, I tell you what, that high priest liked to come unglued.
Yeah.
Can you imagine his reaction to a statement like that?
Yes.
Well, it tells us what happens. It says in verse 65, then the high priest rent his clothes, saying he had spoken blasphemy, because he declared himself to be God.
Yeah.
Blasphemy! What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. You've heard it! What further need have we of witnesses? And then, he says in verse 66, what think ye? What think ye? Speaking to that ungodly crowd there, what think ye? Now, you know that in these verses here, when it comes to the high priest there and his speaking up in this defense and kind of breaking that Isaiah 53 lamb silence, that he did that because of Leviticus 5:1. If a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, and as a witness, whether he hath seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, shall bear his iniquity.
Right.
Basically, but did Jesus know he was the Son of God? Oh, yeah. He know he was going to be coming back on the clouds of heaven one day? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so when the high priest said, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us, well, he couldn't keep silent.
Yeah.
If you know the truth to a lie, and you don't speak the truth to that lie that you know to be a lie, you're in sin, according to Leviticus 5:1, what Moses said. And so he spoke the truth that he knew that he would be coming back on the clouds of heaven. And then, of course, when the high priest ripped his clothes open, that was a violation of the Old Testament. Moses wrote about that also in Leviticus 21:10.
Yeah.
It was forbidden for the high priest to ever rip his clothing. You guys know that. Not only Leviticus 21:10, but other places in the Bible as well. That was a big no-no. And of course, the high priest knew that. He knew he was forbidden to rip his clothing. Though he was anointed high priest over the nation. He knew he wasn't supposed to rip his clothing, but he did it anyway. Probably more than anything, just reaction. Just reaction. And so we come down to the thought, the question, what think ye? What think ye? Is he the Son of God? If your answer is yes, then serve him.
Amen.
Is he the Savior of the world? If your answer is yes, then receive him.
Amen.
Is he the author of this book? If your answer is yes, then obey him.
Amen.
You see, the Jews this night missed a very big opportunity.
Right.
They sure did. They missed it. Paul said they've got blinders on that they can't see.
Yeah.
They missed it. They said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. That's what they told Pilate. That's scary, isn't it? They missed it.
But
you know why? You know why they missed it? Because they were all corrupt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're all corrupt. You see, Caiaphas was the high priest. But when you read over in the Gospel of John, you find out that there was another man that had power in the city. His name was Annas. He was the father-in-law to Caiaphas. Many would say that he was the power behind that office. See, he was high priest before himself. There was a lot of high priests in that family. I think that the Romans wouldn't let a high priest stay in power too long because they got too powerful.
Yeah.
So they like to change them out. That's why we change our presidents out frequently. Because you let them stay in office too long, they get too powerful.
Yeah.
You see, there was all types of corruption in the city. When you go over to John chapter 18, you'll find out that when they arrested Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, that before they ever took him to Caiaphas here in chapter 26, that they first took him to a man by the name of Annas. You can read that over in John 18, 13. Annas was the father-in-law to Caiaphas. He was the guy that kind of called the shots there in the city. He was the big man. He was the old man. He was the father-in-law. He was the mafia boss, if you would. He was the one that had the power. You remember when Jesus goes into the temple area there? And they've got the money changers set up there, and they're selling those animals, and they're changing that money out. And he, in his righteous indignation, takes that whip and throws those tables over. He said, "Hey, make not my father's house a den of thieves."
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
What them guys doing there? What them money changers doing there? What was that business about selling them animals? Well, we know from the Word of God that the Jewish people had to offer different sacrifices throughout the year, whether it be a lamb or a turtle dove, for different things. And we also know that the Jews didn't only live in Jerusalem. They lived all over Israel. They even lived in other countries.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul went all over Europe, found Jews everywhere he went, found synagogues everywhere he went.
Right.
And we also know that it was mandated that 3 feasts a year that the Jewish men had to come back to the temple. That was a journey, That was a big Passover was one of them. And so the leadership there in Jerusalem, maybe in the beginning they had good intentions. I don't know. But they began to say to the people, you know, it's bad enough you got to come all that distance every year, but have to drag all those animals with you. Let us just make it easy for you. You better be careful with that. Let us make it easy for you.
Yeah.
Let us just begin to sell those animals to you right here at the temple.
Right.
You just come. Bless God, you come from another country. You got a different currency. That's fine. We're going to have money changers here. You just bring your currency, and we'll change that money out. You just buy the animals that you need.
Right.
And maybe that was convenient in the beginning days, but very quickly, it began to be all about the money.
Right.
And it wasn't no longer the best of the best. It was just anything that come down the chute they were selling. Just anything that come down the chute. And it began to be about making the money. The people, the Jews, the leadership, the high priest, and most of the council was so corrupt that they could not see the Lamb of God before their very eyes. And they missed it, friend. And they missed it. As a matter of fact, we get down to verse 66. It's Matthew 26, verse 66. That's 3 sixes. And in that verse, they answered and said, "He's guilty of death."
Yep.
He's talking about the Son of God.
That's right.
He said he's guilty of death. Friend, what say you? What say you? That question in verse 66, when the high priest said, "What think ye?" That question is still ringing out today, 2,000 years later. What think ye? I think he's the Son of God. Amen? I think he's the Son of God. That's why I serve him. Hey, I think he's the Savior of the world. That's why I have received him.
Amen.
Amen? I think that he wrote this book.
Amen.
That's why I obey it.
Amen.
What think ye? I tell you, we are in a dark time, not only in our country, but in our world.
Right.
There is so much corruption, sin, terrible things happening. They're going to be real surprised And buddy, I mean real surprised. When that sky parts open and Jesus steps out on a cloud, just like he told that old high priest that he would.
Yes.
Huh? What think ye? You believe this stuff? I hope you do. If you believe it, it'll change the way you live. It will. It'll change the way you live. We've got a great church going down in Chile, and I tell our people all the time, be careful with your testimony.
Right.
You know how important your testimony is? Be careful with your testimony.
Yes.
I don't care if you mess up. Nobody is going to remember the hundreds of good things that you've done.
Amen.
They're only going to remember the one mistake.
Right.
Telling you the truth. Guard your testimony. It's the only thing you got. Because if you hurt your testimony, I'm telling you, preacher boys, you'll never accomplish anything for God.
But
I guard my testimony like a hawk.
Yes.
Because I don't want to be an embarrassment to my God, my wife, my church, my family, my friends. It's important.
But
guard your testimony. Huh? Jesus said that we're lights in this dark world. We've all heard that saying, let your light shine. Your light can't shine if you're living in sin. Your light can't even shine very good if you got some black spots on you. We call them manchas in Spanish. You got some dark patches in your life. You can't do that. The corruption made the Jews make all of the wrong decisions in this chapter. And sin will also make you make all of the wrong decisions in your life. Even if you're saved. Sin will destroy you. Corruption will destroy you. And you'll be absolutely good for nothing. That's what happened to the Jewish people here. And you know, in this chapter we find out that Peter got called up in it also. Didn't he? And then he got called up in it, huh?
Yes.
A little bit. And he denied the Lord three times. I'm sure glad he got past that and went on to do something great for God. He almost messed up that night, big time. When I read this chapter, I can't help but think about that question from the high priest. What think ye? What think ye? You think he's worthy of your service? You think he's worthy for you to receive him as your Lord and Savior? You think he's worthy of your obedience? I think he is.
Amen.
I think he is. And if he is, get the job done. Do right. Be right. Be a testimony. Reach other people. Huh? Live what you believe from that question. What think ye? What think ye? What think ye? What think ye? I'm going to know exactly what you think by the way you live your life for Christ. I'm going to know exactly what you think. He said, he won't know, he don't know much about me. One day we're going to know everything up in heaven.
Yes.
Huh? I just kind of believe, and I don't know for sure, but I just kind of believe that we're going to see a big screen of this was your life. Chick tracks, huh? This was your life. Huh? The good, the bad, and the ugly. And what think ye is going to be a reality. And it's going to be exposed before everybody. Probably going to be a lot of embarrassed Christians up in heaven. You believe that to be true? I think so. I think there's going to come a time when he wipes away all the tears. Huh? But that judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be rough. Huh? And only what's done for Christ is going to last. So what think ye? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you for this moment in the Word of God. I thank you for this great church, Lord, and what it's meant to me through the years. I thank you for Pastor Carter and his stand on the Word of God and love for souls. And dear God, we just ask, Lord, you'd have your perfect way in our lives and help us to be your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed. Heard a great message, had some meat in it tonight. And the question, what think ye? So important. Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He'll act on what he thinks. As the preacher just said, your actions reveal what you think, what you believe. Tonight, good question to ask ourselves. What you think will put boundaries around your life. It'll bring convictions in your life that you'll act on. And biggest of all, it'll help you to make the right decisions if you think right. Amen. We'll sing a verse of song if God's asked you to do something. If you need to talk to the Lord where you stand or at the altar, good time to do so. You do what God's asked you as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Preacher pointed out something deeper was going on. I doubt the whole crowd understood. The high priest set a scriptural trap for Jesus. Brother Mullins didn't read the reference, but he referred to it, Leviticus 5:1, where Jesus had to answer. The high priest put him in a box where he had to answer. And he answered correctly. I don't know, with that crowd looking on, Brother Mullins, if they understood all that was going on. When the high priest said, I adjure thee. You know, we have a pretty good crowd come sometime. And one of the things that I've never quite figured out is how some people get it and some people don't. You know what I'm saying? Some people, it's right over their head. They were a witness, but they didn't know what was happening. Didn't get it. Something deep was going on there. Something deep's going on today that a lot of folks are missing. Well, it was just church again. No, something deep happened with somebody, maybe. While the rest of them, it was just old stuff. When that high priest rent his veil, Brother Mullins, like you said a while ago, it was a reaction. It was an instinct. It was sort of a reflex. But he may not have known, but God was saying, when my son dies on that cross, the veil in the temple is going to be rent. You're no longer going to have the authority to be the high priest. He's the high priest. Amen. Oh, I like that. It was a good message. What do you think? What do you think? Amen. It's important. Don't let it go over your head. Don't miss it. Amen.